Mike Leonard, Leonard Trial Lawyers here. I mean, this is the ideal temperature. Is this an ideal Mike Leonard temperature?
I love it, yeah, because you get the sun, but you get that cool, cool breeze. I love it.
And the morning's a little chilly.
Yeah, I got out for a nice bike ride this morning in the Lake Rajon. It was very fun.
Are you a autumn guy? Do you like the fall?
I love the fall, yeah. September, so October, probably two of the best months of the year.
You know, I do power rankings every year where I rank the months in Chicago.
Really?
And for the first year, I finally bought into that September is the best month
in Chicago. Oh, I love September. It's perfect. It's like, I don't know why, we always get a beautiful Saturday, Sunday in September. It's like without fail.
I'd always gone May as number one. The anticipation of summer baseball season.
Yeah.
It's warming up, but you get some sneaky weird days in May. And
everyone's just the fact that everyone's like, they've been closeted so long, they're outside, they're excited, you know?
Yeah.
First of all, John, first order of business, does everybody know that you had this giant birthday? Does everybody know that?
Yeah, people have heard. It's been 2 weeks now, Mike.
Yeah, well, you've been, probably been celebrating for longer than that, John. But just if anyone doesn't know, John turned 40.
Yes, I did.
And he does not look a day over 39. He does not.
It was actually nice. Patrick Dolan was here last week, employment lawyer, Patrick, who you know well. And I was excited. I got to join another class of people that can be discriminated against.
Exactly.
Once you're over 40, you have an age discrimination case, potentially.
Which is pretty funny now, because that's so young in terms of the workplace.
Yes.
So it's like, if someone has a case and they're in their early 40s, it's like, yeah, you technically have a case, but it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. Okay, so thanks for shouting that out. I appreciate it. And you had a good excuse not coming to my birthday party. You were overseas enjoying a rare vacation, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Went away with a couple of the kids who could go to Dublin and then Galway and then Edinburgh and Glasgow. So it was phenomenal.
You want to put your headphones on? We have a question already.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
On the phone
lines. Let's get to those phones, John.
312-981-7200. You can call in with any sort of law question. We'll dive into some of the interesting cases Mike's been working on, too. But let's go to Ryan. Ryan, you're on WGN. Hello. How are you, bud?
Hello. I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. 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 What do you got for Mike?
Nice. I was actually wondering, I'm in college right now. With the younger folks, the show Suits has become super popular. And I was wondering how accurate it is to actual law profession.
How accurate is Suits, Mike?
Very interesting. I do have a question for the listener first. Before you saw Suits, what was your impression of lawyers, would you say, as a young person?
I don't know. I had some parents that were both lawyers, so I'm not always around some kind of lawyer stuff, but I'm pretty cool. But I think Suits just made it seem like even cooler. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, it's probably not as exciting as Suits.
Not as cool.
Yeah. I mean, I'm as good looking as Gabriel Mott, that is for sure. But, you know, it's like any TV show. So, number one, these incredible issues arise. They somehow all get resolved within the hour of the show, which is usually on the show 2 or 3 days. So, unrealistic in terms of, you know, the quickness with which issues can go to trial, be resolved, completely unrealistic. A lot of the very seedy, you know, ethical issues that they come up with, and the attorneys are always on the show more than willing to do whatever it is to get the result. That's, you know, pretty far-fetched as well. But I think they do get kind of the conflict and personality between lawyers and the intensity sometimes right. But it's just kind of a magnified version of the law. Probably not very realistic, I would say.
But ultimately, you're not as cool as the people in Suits.
I'm not as cool.
Okay. Ryan, not as cool, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for calling, bud, okay?
Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one. All right, that's Ryan, college student listening to WGN Radio. We love when we get those unicorns out there. 312-981-7200.
I thought your demographics, John, were, you know, 18 to 35.
Yeah, or 18 to 35 for sure. Double or triple that. Now, we love our listeners, no matter whatever age they are.
Speaking of Suits, we do have to cover the latest legal drama that was on TV that hit the airwaves this summer.
Wait, hold on. Oh, okay, but it's not Suits. By the way, I've never seen Suits,
well,
by the way.
You know, just so the listeners understand, Suits has been incredibly popular for like the last year, especially with younger people, only because, really, Netflix bought it.
Right.
And put it on, so therefore it just took off.
And Meghan Markle was in the first couple
seasons. Meghan Markle, yeah.
My parents love it.
I think it's fantastic. I watched it, so it was off the air for years. I mean, all these seasons were filmed like 6 years ago, 8 years ago.
Right.
And I think people think they're new and fresh, but they're not. So, yeah, I was a huge fan back in the day. And now it's like
another. You were an OG Suits fan?
Oh, I loved it.
Hipster, if you will?
Now another generation is liking it. But we
liked Suits before it was cool. Okay,
before it was cool. I was, you know, John. But the big thing this summer was the drama Presumed Innocent.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the movie?
I've not seen it, but I know people are posting about it. Is that Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, yeah. So I thought he did a very good job as the prosecutor who's charged with murder of his colleague, a fellow prosecutor. It was like 8 episodes long. Really poor ending, though. I'm not going to tell you what the ending is, but in my mind, very disappointing. But I thought it was a very compelling show. They basically took the movie, but they changed a lot of it. So if you're thinking of the movie, thinking Harrison Ford, thinking of those days, they did a lot of stuff to mix it up. So you're guessing more, and it's not all predictable.
312-981-7200. What shows or movies do you like? We have federal defense attorney Mike Leonard here. Sometimes we dive deep into really serious things.
Sometimes we start soft, though.
Sometimes we gain momentum
as we go.
I will say, I think you and I talked about it. The best law thing I've seen, and I like real ones, like True Crime, The Jinx Part 2, revisiting The Jinx Season Part 1 on HBO from 2015. I couldn't believe it's been almost 10 years. The Durst story was, I remember watching it in 2015 being like, that was incredible. I thought there's no way season 2 is going to live up to any of that. It was so good.
Oh, I love it.
The developments.
Yeah, so if viewers don't know that one, that was Robert Durst, basically part of a billionaire family in New York City, who was involved, allegedly, as the show kind of wound out, multiple murders. Mm-hmm. And then basically, through his dumb decision to cooperate and be part of the show, they were able to prove his guilt.
Yeah, he was.
And he was convicted.
He was free. He was a free man and probably would have remained that way. And he participated in the show, which led to his ultimate arrest. He passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah, he died finally in prison. Got justice, put him in prison, and then he died. So for a lot of people thought it was too late.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Let's hit this break. More with Mike Leonard. And in honor of the Aaron Waters Show, he actually has worked on 2 air cases in your history.
Oh, yeah, John.
Oh, I'm excited about that. We'll find out next on WGN. Mike Leonard, Leonard Trial Lawyers. You want to go to the phone lines?
Absolutely, John. Let's hit them.
We've piqued interest of people in talking about court dramas. And Carrie, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hello.
What do you got for us?
Okay, well, I did see Presumed Innocent. And I did like it. I liked the movie, and it kept me, I couldn't wait to see the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But the ending, like you said, was like, really? And then the other show I saw was called Sugar. I don't know who the stars are in that, but I liked Sugar.
Yeah, the Colin Farrell one, right? Colin Farrell?
Yeah, and that was good. And then the ending was, I got everything wrong. So even with Presumed Innocent, I got them all wrong.
That's okay. That's part of the fun, too, thinking you know the answer.
It was good.
Yeah. So the listeners know what you and I are talking about. Sugar is a show. It was, what do you think, about 6 or 8 episodes, I think, and ran this summer. And Colin Farrell, who's, you know, the famous actor, was the lead guy. He's more of an investigator than a lawyer, but, you know, it's all legalistic issues, kind of seedy underlying Hollywood stuff going on, you know, sexual abuse and weird stuff. And it ends very, very strangely. So, you know, we can't give it away, but just no one could have predicted that ending. So neither you nor I could have gotten that one.
Don't give it away now. Okay,
we're not, but it's okay. Impossible.
I like shows like that, so that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Have you seen Deadlock? I watched that one on HBO. That was good.
I haven't seen that. I'm still catching up on some other ones, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll inform the listeners. Carrie, thanks for the call, okay?
Keep calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Deadlock is New Zealand.
Oh, really?
No, it's Australia. And
true
it's an Australian
crime?
Show. It's a true crime show, and these people keep on washing ashore, and it's in this town that has gone over this really big change and things. It's more of a rural town, but it's been going over a lot of changes. Different people are now leading the town than used to be, and that all plays into the plot. And it's also a comedy, too, but it's done in an interesting way.
But it's a true story?
No.
Oh,
this is not true crime.
No, what I found fascinating, and I guess you shouldn't have been surprised, but when I was in Ireland a week or so ago, of course, I'm watching TV late at night, and it's true crime.
True crime
like Ireland, and it's the same format, the same types of stories. You know, the woman who disappears mysteriously, the husband's the suspect, you know, all feels.
And it's all true crime. So it's like forensic
files. It wasn't the same name, but it was like the same exact concept. So it seems to be a universal thing.
That we love it.
That people just love true crime.
Okay, let's talk about stuff that you've got going on. okay, the air and water show's happening. We got the planes buzzing all around us. You've worked on two cases that have to do with aviation?
Yeah, which is pretty
funny. Why are you smiling about this?
I don't know, just because it's interesting. I mean, it's just fun to have any different type of case. But, yeah, so the two aviation cases I've had, which are not the traditional ones, but about 5 to 10 years ago, on behalf of the residents of a particular group of residents of the city of Bensenville, who were right near O'Hare, we filed a class action lawsuit because O'Hare had opened a new runway.
That's right.
And it was amazing. Like, it's as if the planes were literally coming down your street.
Oh, it's insane.
So low, so loud. And it was a lot of fun, really gratifying. The problem was, you know, they had waited kind of, they were kind of coalescing, trying to find a lure, all that sort of stuff, and eventually kind of had a town hall meeting, kind of like Aaron Brockovich, you know, where you go to this meeting as the attorney. There's 100 people in the gym. They're telling you what's going on. You go out to the street. You go, this is crazy. You know, how are these jets literally coming down the street? So we filed the suit, which was an interesting legal theory called a takings case, meaning that the government has, or O'Hare has taken your property without compensation, because essentially they've ruined your property rights.
Hold on. Let me just, your property rights, but do your property rights extend into the sky?
Yeah, they extend upwards. There's a legal question of how far, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it affects the use and enjoyment of your property. So that was the legal theory. It survived, you know, the initial rounds of motion to dismiss, all that. We took all these depositions. We took depositions of the people affiliated with O'Hare, who in our view had really misled the public. They told them, number one, this is not going to be a big deal. We're going to rotate the traffic. It's not going to affect your lifestyle or your houses, which was completely a lie. And then once the problems began, they kind of misled the residents by making it seem like, oh, we're taking care of it. We're doing all these things, kind of lulled them to sleep. Ultimately, the unfortunate part, we lost on what's called summary judgment. That's a motion that the defendant files before trial. On statute of limitations ground, they found that the residents had just waited a little too long to sue. So that was real interesting case.
Couldn't you argue, though, that the O'Hare's tactics in trying to quell them by saying, well, no, we're working on it, would be an illegal way to try and get someone past the statute of limitations?
John, I'm going to call you today a legal genius. People are going to think that we set this up because that was one of the arguments we made. It was called equitable estoppel. We're arguing that the city and the public officials should be stopped from asserting the statute of limitations because essentially they misled and lulled the public to sleep by continuously representing to them that they were taking steps to take care of the issue, to lessen the noise and the traffic. You are a legal genius, John.
If O'Hare is telling neighbors of Bensenville, we're working on it, I don't think the clock has even started on statute of limitations.
Yeah, it was very tough legal argument. The law was decidedly against us. You know, number one, what public official could be found to be acting for the government? So
true.
If you had a statement made by the aviation commissioner or somebody else to the residents, you know, did it really count? Was it really the statement of the city? So all sorts of legal issues. But yeah, that was a very interesting ride. We didn't get the result that we wanted.
Can I just tell you, we did a Your Hometown featuring Bensenville, and I always knew it was close to the airport. I know the Bensenville Bridge off the tri-state. That's all I knew about it. And I get to go to these little towns, these suburbs, all over the place. We do them every month here at WGN. I was like blown away at how nice, kind, and awesome the folks at Bensenville were. The downtown area is awesome. They do such a good job with their community, and their park system is like one of the best I've seen in all the suburbs. And shout out to them. And I love planes, but when I got there, I could not believe how low those planes were going into the airport.
It was startling. I remember that when we first filed the suit, rolled it out, you know, ABC, NBC, whatever, came out there to cover it, doing an interview.
Could you at least shout out WGN?
WGN was a little late to the draw. But
no, we were not.
But in any event, it just shows I'm unbiased, John.
Yeah.
In any event, as we're doing the interviews, these planes are literally coming overhead, and you couldn't hear the question. So yeah. It was a very effective interview.
Yeah.
It was a really, really nice group of people.
Yeah.
The second air case, similar factual setting. Do you know that Bolingbrook has an airport?
Yes, Clough Airport.
Yeah, I think it's Clough or Clough. So they, similar situation, they built a new runway, moved it, right? And so again, in that case, we were filing suit on behalf of a group of residents because the new airport, as designed, impacted their use and enjoyment of their property. That case, we settled, you know, and again, not completely satisfying, but it did get settled, so we didn't get knocked out of court.
Well, at least there's not 737s landing there.
No, no, much, much smaller aircraft, but, you know, you still have helicopters, you still have planes coming in at weird times of night. So, again, very interesting litigation foray for me.
Hold on. So, Mike Leonard, Leonard Trial Lawyers, I know you as someone that defends people in federal courts and state court, in criminal cases, civil cases too. You fight on the behalf of whistleblowers. You're also fighting on behalf of townships when airport issues are at hand?
Well, in those cases, I did. Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of interesting cases just because we have a reputation for trying cases. So, you know, when people are thinking, we need an aggressive trial lawyer type, you know, sometimes we fit the bill. So
a shark.
It might be a shark. So it might not be, you know, the traditional case that we handle, but you're just bringing to bear the same skills that you would in any other type of case.
Yeah, I'm surprised O'Hare didn't settle and, like, give them money for, like, more soundproofing and Bensonville, yeah, stuff like that.
You're all over this, John. So there were issues about that. They had done some soundproofing. It was very ineffective. I believe, you know, if we had survived that motion, which is called a motion for summary judgment, that probably would have happened next. They probably would have settled the case, but yeah, we didn't get over that hurdle.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Both my parents grew up on a street in Norwich, and that was one of my favorite things as a kid, was going to visit Grandma and Grandpa, who they just lived down the street from each other. My parents were high school sweethearts, and watching the planes come into O'Hare and Norwich, I thought that was as low as they ever got.
Yeah.
Until I went to Bensonville.
Yeah, I think Bensonville is the lowest I've ever seen. So, yeah.
Anyways,
I don't have any water cases for you, John. I can't think of a water
case. Air and water?
Case.
No, you couldn't complete the equation
there. I mean, I get
thirsty
sometimes in court, but I don't think that counts, John. We do have two large developments in federal court this week, though.
Why don't we put a pause on that? That's a great tease,
yeah,
in the business.
I'm really learning from you, John.
Yeah, two big cases or issues or things that are happening in federal court here in the Chicago and Illinois area. We will get to those with Mike Leonard in just a moment. Mike, what number do you want people calling you at if they're upset with the airport being close by to them?
Any type of case, John. 312-380-6559. And if they don't have a case, call John Hanson at WGN.
Yeah, you can call me 312-981-7200. Very good stuff. Okay, more with Mike Leonard on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, after the news here on WGN.
This is John Landon.
At least one of the planes zoomed overhead, Mike.
Loved it, yeah.
There it goes. I just saw it head west of Columbus. Oh, there goes one straight up in the air, turning around.
That is amazing.
This can't be that exciting radio, but it's cool to watch.
Yeah, you describing it, that's cool. Wow.
Cool. Wow,
I'm
spins.
Not sure people are getting the visual that you want.
I think there's other places that do that. John Hanson here. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Do you mind taking one text question before we get to some of
John,
the things?
I'll take 10 text questions.
And I'm only just bringing this up, and you know, we'll get to the local stuff again in a moment. 773, can your guest confirm that there's a 99% chance that Trump's New York conviction will be overturned? You and I talked about it right after the conviction, the 34 felony counts. You had talked about some legitimate grounds that you worried about how the case was brought. Since then, we've had a Supreme Court ruling arguing that even certain appointments of special prosecutors or special prosecutors is maybe null and void, and the Trump team is arguing that. So what do you think? I don't know if it's 99% chance, but you're seeing avenues.
I can't verify 99%. So interesting thing about the New York case. So some of the issues I raised were different than some of the new issues that people have been raising. So I don't think the New York State case has much to do on appeal with this whole recent Supreme Court case.
Okay.
The whole immunity issue, because I think it's going to be a very tough argument to Trump to say, number one, during the campaign, he's not an elected official. So when he does allegedly fraudulent acts he's convicted of, to write checks and things of that nature, there's no question, there's no immunity because he's not even in office.
He wasn't the president,
yeah,
right?
He wasn't. So that's some of that part of that case. But even when he's in office, it's not an official act to write a personal check to pay somebody off or to illegally pay an attorney. So I don't think the Supreme Court case gave any impact upon that case. But we talked about some of the procedural deficiencies with that case in the New York case.
What you see as deficiencies.
Yeah, what I see. Yeah, well, I mean, like a lot of people see them. But the lack of notice of what the underlying New York state law charge was, that was the basis for being a felony, and some other, you know, sort of procedural issues in that case, I think are strong arguments on appeal. I don't think this new immunity issue changes the game at all, or changes my viewpoint, or does anything, because I don't think the New York State Court of Appeals, which is the New York Supreme Court, is going to say that, you know, the immunity has anything to do with the equation. So I don't think that changes anything. But that case will take, you know, a good year to get resolved on, right, on appeal. And I don't think it's going to make any difference in terms of the election and all that sort of stuff.
When you came on the Saturday after that, the verdict came in, you said there was a fairly an okay chance. You have no idea what the percentage is that would be overturned. And that still stands as your chance of being overturned. The Supreme Court case that came out about immunity, you feel like doesn't have overlaps to this case.
No, I don't think. Okay. Yeah, I don't think that affects it at all. But I think he does have a good appeal in that case.
Okay. Local things that are happening in Chicago and Illinois in terms of the federal courts. What you got for me?
Sure. So the federal court in Chicago recently announced this past week there's a new chief judge. So if you remember, Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer was on the show with John
Friend Rivas. Of the show.
Friend of the show, which, what is that, 2 or 3 years
two
ago?
2 years ago, yeah. I think, yeah.
She was a great guest. She's a great judge. She's a great person. So she will no longer be the chief judge of the Northern District of Illinois, and she'll be replaced by Virginia Kendall, who's been a long-serving judge on that bench. She had a long and very great career as a federal prosecutor before being on the bench. So she's really spent her lifetime in that court building. And, more importantly, John, she went to what a lot of people call the Harvard of Chicago Law School's Loyola.
Oh, that's where you went.
Yeah, that's
what a coincidence.
And graduated the same year. So she's got a lot going for her. But no, it'll be interesting for her to take the reins as the chief judge. I think everyone's excited about that. And she's got a great history in terms of her career as a lawyer, both as a prosecutor and as a judge.
I got a question for you. She was a former prosecutor. I assume more people from the prosecutor world end up as judges, because they're already kind of in the pipeline of being in the federal system, I guess you could say.
Unfortunately,
right?
The answer is yes. So especially in our district, I mean, there are some judges who have the defense lawyer background, some from the federal defender's office, some not. But yeah, statistically, way more federal prosecutors on the bench than federal defense attorneys or federal defenders, which I don't think is a good thing. I think it should be more balanced, but that's true across the country. So it's not just here. That's a truism.
So then my follow-up question would be, would you ever want to be a federal judge?
Well, John, number one, they'd never have me, so it's
why
not really, it's for many reasons, but
well,
no.
But if they have so many former prosecutors, why wouldn't you want some former federal defense attorneys to end up being judges?
I think there's a lot of great federal defense attorneys now who would make great candidates for judge. I'm not one of them. But yeah, I think it'd be great. I would love it if some of my colleagues, peers, friends who are federal defense lawyers got appointed to the bench. That'd be fantastic development. Hopefully, as the bench, you know, as we progress, the bench is becoming more balanced. That has happened more recently where there's been more of a balance. But yeah, it would never be me. But yeah, I hope that it does become more balanced in terms of defense lawyers versus prosecutors.
Well, is this a flaw in the system then? Because I know federal judges have to be appointed by the president, and so these are political appointments, and it's often more advantageous to say, look at this prosecutor I have, what a stellar record they have. Maybe it's harder for a president, or if it's a governor, or whatever the case may be, in lower courts to appoint defense attorneys. Is that what you guys are up against? Is why you can't be appointed as judges?
You can be appointed, yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, look, let's face it, you know, the public in general isn't like, hey, we need more criminal defense lawyers, or we need more criminal defense lawyers on the bench. The public's perception isn't that, even though I think that's true. So yeah, there's sort of a political aspect to that for sure. And then a lot of federal judges or a lot of federal prosecutors go to large law firms, and that's also sort of a seeding ground for federal judges, and that's true nationally.
That's wrong. We should get more defense attorneys.
I think you're right, John. I think there's so many good ones. I think it'd be great. And I think over time, the bench has become more balanced, but there's still a ways to go. There's no question.
Given that,
and all those prosecutors after listening to us are saying, no.
Would you, I mean, is that a job you'd want? Let's say you were, someone asked to appoint you. They wanted to do it. They wanted to help change this narrative around. Would it be a job you want to do, the judge?
No, but they'll never ask. But no, that's not something I'm interested in. But I'd like to continue to try the cases until I'm done or till I sort of die on the courtroom floor. And then I'll be done. But my wife says it'll be before that.
Well, you get to kind of play that role. You do arbitration stuff sometimes, too,
yeah,
right?
Which has been kind of interesting is I'm on the American Arbitration Association panel. So I am appointed from time to time to be an arbitrator, which is like essentially being a judge in a private dispute. Had one of those recently, went to, it's called hearing instead of trial, over the last couple of months. I thought that was kind of a fun experience, sitting back and hearing all the evidence and not having the stress of preparing and putting the evidence on and doing the closing argument and doing a post-trial brief. I didn't mind not doing all those things, but still, obviously, I love the action. I like to try cases. That's the most fun in the world for me.
You didn't come to my 40th birthday party despite being invited.
I was invited, but a good excuse, John. I was in Ireland.
Yeah,
come on.
That's an okay excuse.
And I got to have Guinness the night before your party from the Guinness factory in Dublin. Come on.
Pour one out for me. Patrick Dolan came as a true friend of the show and myself. But I had another friend who was chatting with Patrick a lot because my friend, my buddy from Downers Grove South High School, Go Mustangs, lives in Michigan now. He's a lawyer. He does more like big cases involving multiple companies, but it has some touches to what Patrick does with employment law. But he was a public defender here in Illinois for
nice.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Have you ever served as a public defender, Mike?
No. So I'm in Chicago. I'm on the Federal Defender Panel. I don't know if you know what that is.
But I don't.
So you have the Cook County Public Defender's Office for state cases, which is a giant office. For federal cases, there's called the Federal Defender Office. It's a much smaller office for federal court. You have like maybe 20 lawyers. That's their full-time job. But there's a number of lawyers like myself who are on what's called the panel. So from time to time, we get called and to handle federal court cases for people who can't afford to pay, and we get paid for our service by the government.
Mm, okay, cool. Yeah. So sort of, I mean, similar.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, but I'm not a member. Like, if that would be in the federal domain, that would be working for the Federal Defender's Office. Okay. You'd be an employee of their office.
Okay, we have a second local thing to get to, but first, let's take a break. More with Mike Leonard, Leonard Trial Lawyers. After this on WGN. Mike Leonard, Leonard Trial Lawyers, as the Blue Angels continue to zoom on by. These are soundproof windows, but they're no match for...
Can we make like...
Well, I mean, have you heard them rolling by?
Can we make plane sounds so the listeners can appreciate what it sounds like in here, John?
Boy, I don't know. Iridian, yay or nay? Give me a big shake there.
It's as good as it gets here at WGN.
We have a new Chief Northern District of Illinois.
New Chief Judge that for was, the Northern District of Illinois.
That was local point number one of change in the federal court. What's number two?
Number two, a shout out to a great win in federal court this week. Gabriel Sansonetti and Nancy D. Podesta tried this case, and it was the first case after that Schneider case we've talked so much about on the show.
This was the corruption case against the mayor in Indiana that went all the way to the Supreme Court. The timing of when the money was paid to the mayor became a pivotal thing of what he was charged with and what was changed.
Wow. Very succinct explanation. Yeah. So this case, which was not Schneider, was a new case in federal district court in Chicago, was tried by those two great lawyers this week and last week, and they got a not guilty on all counts. And the basic plot of that case was you had a guy who owned a company. I think he's a resident of Indiana instead of Illinois, but he owned a company. And he basically, just a super nice guy, he meets this guy who works for the Cook County Assessor's Office, who kind of befriends him and vice versa. They have a relationship for several years where they get to know each other, play a lot of golf. And the guy who's the defendant in the case, you know, pays for golf, pays for drinks, things of that nature, right? Never asking this guy for a thing from the assessor's office. But, you know, several years into their friendship, he's like, hey, you know, I got this lawyer. We do these tax appeals. You know, what do you think, you know, what should I do, you know, to you know, maximize my, you know, reduction in my assessment, stuff like that. I guess the assessor's guy's like, I'll take a look at it type of thing, right?
Okay.
And so...
Seems a little squirrely on first brush.
No, it really wasn't at all. But they for years, this defendant had, you know, gotten every year, gotten a reduction from the assessor's office.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless whether he knew this guy at the assessor's office or not, he continued to have the friendship with this guy. And at some point, you know, the assessor's office got in this whole corruption scandal where there's been a lot of people indicted and charged and convicted from the assessor's office saying, hey, you were getting things of value in exchange for people getting reductions. So the government's theory in this case was that the defendant basically had some sort of quid pro quo with the assessor employees where, gee, I'll pay for a round of golf or two and you'll get me a break on my assessment. That was the government's theory. It was, you know, weakly supported. You know, there was a long-term friendship. It was not, you know, this quid pro quo as the government you know, made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And they, the lawyers who tried the case, who I mentioned their names a minute ago, they put the client on the stand. He testified extensively. And, you know, I think he, you know, from all reports, came across as how he was, just a really nice guy. I think really he was used by the assessor's office. You know, that they saw an opening like, oh, this guy will pay for golf, he'll pay for drinks, you know, let's take advantage of it. And so the case went to trial. The jury found him not guilty on all counts. It's really the first corruption case since that Supreme Court decision in Snyder to go to trial, and it was a big victory for the defense and a big loss for the government.
Okay, so did the outcome of the Indiana mayor, the Snyder case that went up to the Supreme Court, they ultimately ruled that it was not okay to find him guilty of the bribe, the payment, because it came after he was mayor already or something like that. The timing of it was different. What I'm getting at is, yes, it was the first case involving this afterwards about bribery. Was that case like cited in jury's notes, like in instructions, or was there no?
The jury would never know about that decision,
right.
but the jury instructions would guide the jury how to decide the case, and they would have to find that there essentially was a quid pro quo, that, you know,
because the Supreme Court had ruled that.
Yeah, and so but there was a conspiracy count, and there was a bribery count. So I think, you know, really justice did prevail. Some great lawyering by those two lawyers. And, you know, I think it's a big loss for the government, but an overreach also. You know, you really had a guy who paid for golf for somebody who was a friend already, who already had a pre-existing relationship, trying to convict him of federal charges, very serious consequences on his life. And, you know, I think it really was one of those cases where the right outcome was found by the jury.
I just want to make sure I understand and the listeners understand. There was a case in the Supreme Court about federal bribery. The Supreme Court said you have to show quid pro quo, and that was agreed upon essentially before the bribe and the action took place, not after the fact. This was the first case in federal court after that ruling, which would have led to different jury instructions saying you have to show what the Supreme Court said you had to show, and the jury found him not guilty. Okay. How does that apply to the Mike Madigan trial? Everyone's wondering.
Well, I think if you're watching the Madigan case, you have to be pleased with this outcome, because, you know, as we talked about, it's not enough now to say, hey, Madigan or any other public official got some favor because they did something, they took some action and later on they got some benefit, right? So that's not enough. There has to be, you know, essentially an agreement that if you do this, I will do that, right? And so I think if you're Madigan's defense team and people watching that case, you're pleased with the outcome of this case, and you're pleased with the fact that the Madigan indictment is probably going to get gutted. There's probably going to be a lot of counts that are going to go away that aren't going to be part of the case, and there's a lot of evidence that will probably go away, won't be part of the case. So the Snyder case is going to have a significant impact on the Madigan trial. There's no doubt about it.
And you could say the proof is in the pudding, because you've already had one case that may have turned out differently because of the ruling of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and it's so hard to tell because every case is so fact-specific. And I think the case that just went to trial that those lawyers won was great, because he had a great client who was able to testify and came across as the person that he was, a good guy who was honest, who liked other people, who did stuff for his friends, and, you know, thought this guy was a friend. So, you know, every case is different on its own facts. So you can't draw too many conclusions, but certainly you're pleased to see a jury see a case after Snyder and go for the defense.
Well, I think some people would disagree with you there. I think some people would say if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. But that's not the federal standards anymore.
Correct. Well, yeah.
Never really was. I mean, you had to prove more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard. I mean, you know, without some sort of an agreement, express or tacit, beforehand, you know, politicians get rewarded in all sorts of ways, including by political contributions. So just because they took an action and later on someone gave them a benefit, which could include a political contribution, it's hard to say that's corruption.
Okay. I just know people are yelling at you through the...
That's okay. They can yell at me. Any bad texts, John?
No. And if there were, I wouldn't read them to you. No, I would. I'd have no problem doing that. Mike, where can people reach you at, buddy?
312-380-6559, LeonardTrialLawyers.com.
And who do you represent?
We typically represent individuals who are charged in federal or state court criminal matters. We also represent individuals who are suing as whistleblowers and sometimes as former employees who are suing their companies.
Well, phone number one more time.
312-380-6559.
It's always good to chat with you, my friend. Good to see you in person.
Great to see you, John. You don't look a day older than 40. You look great.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, Mike Leonard.